May we continue after this in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 11. The last time we considered verse 17 to 19, we couldn't continue. If I remember, I was rebuking the Corinthian church for their divisions among them, because that division, those factions and divisions, have led them to observe the laws, suffer improperly, and they were affected how they observe the laws, suffer. The lesson that we learned was that divisions in the church create room for all manner of apathetic conduct, and that as we found in Corinth, so that may we also guard against it, that members in the church will seek that we all grow in the knowledge of our dear Savior, unite in all that we believe and all that we do, so that all as we grow in our understanding, sad things will not have place among us, and God will grow the love of Christ, we will grow the love of one another, and there will be no room for divisions. But where there is the love of Christ waxes cold, there is room for divisions and factions in the church. Then self will have its way. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 to 19.
Ama Raja Didia, Osakomo, Ede, Ebuni, Esrone, Hopo, Ekon, Nama, Omo, and Yano, Papa So. Nanana, yes, a train said, Papemo, about Sorimo, and Ma, a soup, Tantavia, and Sweeney, about a Sorinum. And if you say Corinthians, so is that, the Sweeney, Munna, and Sweeney, Tinapos, all of human, you see. Yen so ya, yes, a Sorim by Iowa. And so, yeah, so tonight we'll continue from verse 20, and again we are still thinking about the Lord's Supper. So this one will be part 2, but they are the same matters. His rebuke against their divisions was because of this, the Lord's Supper they were observing wrongly. So we are still looking at the Lord's Supper, so this will be part 2. So I read to you verse 20.
So I read to you verse 20. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And verse 20, the Apostle Paul said, Apostle Paul said that they come together as a church, at the meeting of the church, to one place. They gather as a church, but this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, meaning that as they were observing the Lord's Supper improperly, and here they were combining their love feast with that of the Lord's Supper, because there was eating and bringing their meals together and eating, and again they were mixing it with the Lord's Supper, which ought to be the different thing altogether from that. So Apostle Paul meant that there's such a meeting where, well, they have their love feast to share meals among themselves, and also observe the Lord's Supper, which led them to it made the Lord's Supper improper.
because they mix it up, they share their meals and common meal, and after that they also observe the Lord's Supper. Or that they observe the Lord's Supper and afterwards they share their common, whichever they do. But because of the attitude in this gathering, the Lord's Supper was really observed improperly. And just to tell you a little about the love feast, in the early church, it was a common fellowship in the church. Members in the congregated church often would bring meals together and they share, and it was a means of fellowship within the membership. So it was a common practice in the church as they share meals together and a kind of fellowship in the church. The Apostle Paul all come with no verse 20 in the Sabia also Mushimu the Nelson Yeshimu Ebabe Dira Dino. And we know our cancer, if we say, and the Queen Omushimuno, the Radia Dia Count of Omushimu, but on one day, Omo said the Omo Mundia and Ebano Mabeche, Obia, the Anibano of Weamovino, Sir, and she won the Afra, Radia Dino. Jama. Mesma san shim die no munye ni ni wale die ni so aye anya is san so bone we wale die so ama as anya die o mu e die wale die no eni e wo sa kwan so na me ka se sa e die ni o mu de ba bible said love is as our dog o mu die die ni ba no ma che no bia mo bibi no bia die na sa sorry for no e be shim. We have a reference of this in Acts chapter 2 verse 46. The love feast. I read to you Acts chapter 2 verse 46. And they continuing that the believers daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Here the Bible commentators think the breaking of bread has to do with the Lord's Supper, and that probably they mix the love feast with the Lord's Supper, whichever way. But here the reference is going from house to house to share meal among themselves, and we are told they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. This has to do with common eating, common food. It has something to do with that. And also, Apostle Jude at the point spoke again their views of this love feast, and he made a reference to it. Jude verse 12, he says these are speaking against people who were misusing the love feast and were corrupting it. These are spot in your feast of charity. This is where the term comes, the love feast. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, raises fruit with bread. Trees whose fruit were dressed without fruit, twice dead, blocked up by the roots. So he was describing these people who were abusing the love, called the feast of charity, the love feast among the believers. So here also he made reference to that. So it was a common practice in the early church that the church comes together at the time, maybe after service or I don't know, at least they come together to share common meal as a means of fellowship. And actually, it also means to even help those who may not have anything to eat to have a meal to eat. And again, in the early church, there was persecution. Many people have been sacked from their homes and everything. And there was that community of believers. So these things were a means to help. And again, to even strengthen their fellowship. And last week, as I said, this was a means to show how they are together, but they were abusing it. So Apostle Paul making reference to that they come together, but not to be the Lord's Supper. They come, because you speak about, they come together to eat, and some are hungry, some are filled. So they are coming together. He says that you come together, but not to eat the Lord's Supper, though you seem to blend it with your love feast. The Apostle Paul, all can say, I'm sorry, Corinthians, I'm sorry, but in yet, say, right, you know, we'll be dealing. wọ́n ká bẹ́ẹ̀ sí ẹ̀tọ́ asùnà gbọ́sọ̀ ọ̀gá sí ọmọ ìṣẹ́ ọmọ ẹbí dìdí mi ní ẹ̀kọ́ ń di ẹbí ná àṣẹ ìnumọ̀ pàṣà ẹ̀nú na ẹ̀kyẹ́ yẹn sọ ọmọ di ọmọ sáà ẹ̀dùnyàní náà ọmọdé bá bẹ́ kyẹ́ ma obi ẹ̀yẹ́ bìdì nù ọmọdé afra ẹ̀rọ̀dé dìdí nù na ẹ̀rọ̀dé náà eye eye ejumadi ana asori no a fiti ase no mu eye ba o kan act chapter 2 verse 46 a eche se episo ko no mu eko efie ne efie mu edidi bo ah ona oba ju ju de suna o kasati o mu a sa ejumadi ya so mu ye che so mu do mu a so mu eche o mu bia ne mu 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 no o se bi mu and just by paid you know so o so ma akamaka mu a ọmọ mama saa ọdọ iṣẹ emu no ayẹ ade a efi mọbi fufu na ọkasẹ ọbi mu ba ọmọ no ọmọ ayẹsẹ ọmọ ba beti sa adumadi ẹ na ẹmisu bi ẹni omu ọsẹ feeding themselves without fear it's like just abusing as the Corinthian church as some of us say some are hungry and then some are also empty and all that so that people come there to just like gluttony. Eat and just eat and satisfy themselves and they go. So the idea of the love was with the early church. So that's what helps us to understand that was Paul's words here. That though they come together to have that fellowship, where they have the Lord's Supper, but in reality they are not coming to eat the Lord's Supper at all because other matters takes their attention and then the purpose of the Lord's Supper is missed. So the Lord's Supper is not merely eating and drinking, it has a purpose. And if it is missed, then the meeting loses its importance. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul can say, okay, shame there, omu good time we say omu ye rade di naka. But yet then he said, rade di ni edumedia ehinya ba butaye si won. He said, I saw this shame so omu ye rade di naka. But I know I had ya mano. And 300 years, then you're ready to do that. So that's another apostle Paul. Okay. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper, as we know, it is observed in remembrance of the sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also his promise to return again. And it also shows the oneness of believers in him, because we partake, we share the bread. We drink the wine together, which represents his body. The verse goes, I don't want to say much about that, but I'll explain further when I get there. So the remembrance of the death of Christ and even his return. So that if anything clouds this purpose of the meeting, then it is lost. I will explain more also of the Lord's Supper as Apostle Paul himself will explain in the verses following. Apostle Paul, the organizer, Radia DJ, and the Buddha here, Radia DC, was said, Your Bassa, Radia DJ, Nasa, Sabotano, Nianotina, your Bay Nasa, and Bayer, Adia, Bema, you to me, who is Yadia Fimuna Kaka here, then Nanya Adia, you ready to pray. Because the Lord's Supper, because of the design, the purpose of it, it requires a solemn reflection and conduct of believers. Radia DJ, Miss Radia. Ele si wọn ni buta yẹn no ehia sẹ obi ọbẹ ba bi ejidi ni ọbẹ ba bi no so oyẹ obi a wọn dwin ẹrọadé die ni ho yẹ ase ọba ọdẹ esuro ni n'ani agye kora no enigye a ẹyẹ enigye a ẹmu yẹ du enye enigye basabasa kẹkẹ ne mu ọsẹ ọba sa ẹrọadé di die no ọbẹ ẹrọadé di ọba ẹwọ n'adwin mu n'akoma mu no ọdẹ ọdwin ẹrọadé. Said the new womb and then Mesma washisha in Yoma Ama a Jedi for me. You sue a better Jedi, a war by Jedi Geno, or say you sue a funeral cousin. It tends to bar a swing you par. I just said, you're serious as you near break, sir. If I said, to me, this argument, dear no, said the Rade, I don't know. Because after the loss of our said Christ. In view of believers, Radia di no Emma Christo, Sanso Christo, Miss Motiani, Joya Mayano, a pa yakin bi mu ma, Emma yakin hu ye, pa o sebe Radia di dia. Because as we recollect his death, and his death and also the his promise of return, this really makes us to energize again for the Christian life. Lord, that is all that the Christian life is about, living for Christ and expecting his return. And the Lord's Supper is to help us reflect on that. And the opportunity to reflect on this is abused. Then where? There's a loss. And so, looking at how Apostle Paul wants them to have it as the Lord has instructed, taking the Lord's Supper alongside with the love feast or any other activity undermines the significance. And so, as they undermine the significance of the Lord's Supper, they dishonor the Lord. The Lord is dishonored by undermining what himself has put there, which has to be honored. And again, everything the Lord has, his commands, if we disregard them, it's a dishonor to him, you see. And the Lord's Supper is one of them. Okay, I'll come to that again. And for the verses, Apostle Paul tried to explain to us the purpose of the Lord's Supper. So when I get there, I'll say more about it. Verse 21, for in eating, everyone take care before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. So you see, this one is a connection to verse 20, where you see that they met together not to eat the Lord's Supper, because here there was that eating and drinking, having that kind of food over there. The Lord's Supper, though we eat and drink, but that's not merely to eat and drink and just like that. For in eating, everyone take care before another his own supper. And one is hungry, another is drunk. And again, the Lord's Supper, we don't bring our food from our home and come and share, no. So again, this is the love feast he's talking about. Also, even their love feast was corrupted. The love feast was corrupted as the different sects eat by themselves without waiting even for others in the church. So that when this group, they come, they have their food, they eat, they go. Others also come, they have their meals, they eat and go. And others do not have a leftover. So even the love feast, which was a proper and a good thing for fellowship, was being corrupted by the Corinthian church. He said, one is hungry and another is drunken. So there were acts of gluttony. People, some come and they just eat, and then they are full. They don't care about others in that meeting. And I'm sure it was the wealthy people. They also have, because they can bring enough food. They eat and they enjoy themselves. And the poor believers who have nothing, probably, they are not able to bring anything to the fellowship. And they go back home hungry. So in a way, those who have, they pretend to come and share meals together, but then that wasn't the case. The poor returned home empty, and the rich members ate what they brought alone, and they are full. And Apostle Paul is telling them that even that love feast, you are not doing well. Those who have eat well and they are full, others are hungry. Well, I'm sure you think of a church. The Corinthians, they were it was the church of Jesus Christ. And you think of such an attitude among them, it will surprise you, that also. But it was a selfish attitude in the Corinthian church. It was selfish. But then, somebody may ask, why would Christians even do that? We have a love feast, we have a fellowship. Here people come and they do their own thing and go their way. They don't consider their brothers in the church. Well, but that's how far anyone can go. When self and not Christ is the motive of our conduct. If we act in the church, we do anything, whatever we do in the church, if Christ is not the motives of our action, and we just think of ourselves, this is how far we can go. So this people, well, I'm sure not some of them may not be genuine Christian, but some of them were, but they have been affected by this carelessness, selfish attitude in the church. They come, they do their own thing, and they are gone. No, just how far anyone can go if Christ is not the motive of our conduct. We will end up acting our own way in a church, which will not benefit anyone. It will not edify anyone. We may feel okay in ourselves, but then that is improper, and that does not honor Christ. So the Apostle Paul is telling them that such a conduct is not right. Apostle Paul, they all can say, "Informu adomu edeji somebi diani abba omo chemo omo mono." Ah, obiba diowo diani no ban obidi no ko dioni bisno omo sunambo. Ah, botani sa koma beche diani no naka obiye biye. And I make us a sweet as a person on me as soon and on modality. Now, again, say Corinthians, so it won't be a piece of four. Because I didn't a piece of four, that's a sweet. And because I said, even a piece of four, but I said, yea, Montu, oh, I'm sorry, no more announcement, you know, I am sick, yea, Christo now, or yea, near the new channel. 9% not make me pay in a year. That's a train you hook a crab in for saying a souvenir. You may have your master there, but at the only day, no, not yea, not yea, yea, Cassa, your new yam, my every friend, then you use a new yam. A bass I know I'm more of ya. But then we have to act to for the edification of the church. In all that we do, all that we say, in our thinking, everything, it is to honor Christ and to edify the church. So this attitude was very, very, very wrong and poor among the priests. But then we can see it happens in churches where people have themselves in view under the cover of Christ. Oh yes, we are doing for the glory of Christ, and yet they have themselves in view. And in that, when it happens, this is what will happen. I don't know, they will act, they will do what they did, and it will not honor anyone, it will not honor Christ, it will not also edify anyone. And it's a selfish attitude. Verse 22. What? Have you no counsel to eat in and to drink in, or despise the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So here he reminds them the purpose of their meeting, so that the church meeting must have spiritual things in view. You see, if it's about just meeting and eating and satisfying our flesh appetite, eat in the house, not coming to the church and to indulge in fleshly appetite. The church is for spiritual edification. So even if it's about sharing of meals, it's not merely that, well, I come and I satisfy myself. No, it should be done in the way of having that kind of, it should be something that should remind us of the love of Christ in our own heart, and the love we have to have for others. Not merely the food that we eat, at least that kind of connection which we have in Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, one thing he did when, after the supper, remember he took a towel and a water to wash and clean the disciples' feet. Peter himself said, oh no, the Lord didn't do that for him. And the lesson is that when the church meets, each member should be willing and willing to do all that is required, so that we all will feel and we all will have that kind of oneness in everything. That there shouldn't be any kind of division, segregation in the church. You see, we are one in Christ. When we meet in the Lord, we are all sinners saved by grace, and so that all that we do must be to edify us spiritually, because our meeting in Christ ought to be spiritual. And it ought to increase and help us to grow spiritually, and not merely for to satisfy our fleshly appetite. So that in our fellowship, it shouldn't be for frivolities and merrymaking. You know, some churches, they think of maybe they're having a fellowship and all that, and it's about like, just like merrymaking. No. Even if we should have some social gathering as a church, it shouldn't be for merrymaking. Yes, we'll have our meals and have kind of free of charge and compassion. Our motives is that even in that kind of social gathering, you will honor Christ in our meeting. And it's not merely meeting to just have fun, no? If the church you meet to have fun, then it shouldn't be meet at all. In all our gathering, in all our fellowship, it shouldn't be for frivolities. In our worship also, you know how many churches have been turned into entertainment. In time of worship, there's no seriousness, you see. And just to satisfy their flesh, no? The meetings of the church ought to be solemn at all times. Yes, there's our joy shouldn't be just we are happy. We should be our rejoicing will be in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because we have appreciated something about the Lord, and we have appreciated something about His truth. And in the singing, in the hearing of the word, then our hearts are moved in the things of the Lord, and that's how our joy should come. If we should meet at the church, but not merely as those they think, well, we want to be happy in the Lord, they beat drums and then they're happy. No, that's not happiness. That's not the joy of the Lord. No, that's not edification. You see, our joy should. That is why him singing, him that are soundly written, is the right kind of praises to the Lord, because it helps us reflect on Christ, the Lord, and all that He is to us, and how He wants us to be. It will help us reflect this our state by sin and His all His glory, glorious grace for us, and the various things which the Bible teaches us. So, in our meeting, even for social gathering, shouldn't be for merely having fun. No, Apostle Paul is telling them, you meet to have this love feast, but look at what you are doing. How you are exhibiting your gluttony in the church? Have you no houses to eat and drinking? Is it here that you want to come and show somehow that kind of behavior? Or despising the church of God and shame them that are not, so that those who are not having will seem to have been exposed that you don't have in the church. And then in the church, this thing shouldn't happen. In the world, that this happens. In the church, when we meet together, such a thing shouldn't happen, whereby there's kind of segregation in the church. You know, no, it shouldn't happen. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. It is an awful attitude, and it doesn't require praises from anyone. So, that's what Apostle Paul is trying to teach you, that the main thing for the church is for the honor of our dear Savior and for the edification of our souls. You see? And I think I cannot get to that verse, but there's a verse in our passage, it for the Lord's Supper. It says that, let me just read that. I will not get there today, but he said, people, some who come to the Lord's Supper do not discern the Lord in the Lord's Supper, the Lord's body in the Lord's Supper. It's one of the best, so far to my best, but they don't discern His body. They are not able to realize the purpose of the Lord's Supper and how the Lord wants us by that, have that kind of fresh recollection of who He is to us and all His blessings and all that He has killed for us by Calvary, and so that we can really love Him more and trust Him more. So you see, coming to our meetings will always help us to be better people. You know, when he started this part of the verse, he told them they meet for the worst. Apostle Paul, for some of the church, said, "Yen shemunya as a servant said, Emma yen tusu e Christo abrabom." But look at Corinthians, look at what he says. "Mushiye munsu ye, but nyepo mushiye mu kai papaso. Omo mushiye munem papaso ma ubia." But the church meeting should rather be a means to edify us. Let's go and pray. And the Apostle Paul began to set forth again the Lord's Supper. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. For I have received of the Lord." So here Apostle Paul declares the divine authority of the Lord's Supper, that the Lord's Supper is something the Lord has himself instituted. And he himself as an apostle, because you know Apostle Paul wasn't part of the 11 who had the Lord's Supper with the Lord. So the Lord revealed it to him by revelation. He revealed it to him so that he can also, all the churches that he is preaching the gospel to set up, He can direct them that they will observe the thing the Lord has put down. So he says that, for I have received of the Lord the design and the form of his administration. I also received this by revelation. And he also appointed for the churches of Christ to follow, and which we also follow. Apostle Paul, they all can say, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. So here he is reminding the Corinthians that the church that he has faithfully instructed them already, and how the Lord's Supper should be observed and administered among them. So he has already told them. So ask us, why have they not observed it as he has told? Apostle Paul said, So that the improper observance was inexcusable, because they knew what was right to be done. And his words in verse 22, the last part of verse 22, shows that he was disappointed at their improper observance of the Lord's Supper. He says, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. I'm disappointed because how the Lord wants the things to be done, you are not doing it. I cannot praise you for this. You are ashamed, you are dishonoring the Lord. But he moves on to set before them what the Lord delivered to him. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed. And the Lord Jesus was betrayed by Judas, which we have the records in the Gospels. He was betrayed by Judas. And the night that of the Lord's betrayal, that night was the Jewish Passover. We have the records in Matthew 26:17 to the whole of Matthew 26, we have the passage, but verse 17 tells where the Lord is to see the Lord, the Passover, the Lord's Supper. But it was the night of the Jewish Passover, where they observe the feast of the Passover. But the Passover was a memorial of the Lord's deliverance of them from the Egyptian bondage. You can remember the history of Israel. That day where the Lord made them kill a lamb, and painted their doorposts with their blood. And that the angel of death came over the land of Egypt, and all the firstborn of every house without the blood on the doorposts were killed. And so the same night that the people of Israel sacked the people of Israel, they should leave them. And so it was a memorial of this deliverance of the Lord of them from the Egyptian bondage. But then the Passover prefigures Christ and his redemption for his people. His redemption that the Jews were looking for, expecting the Messiah. The believing Jews, they are expecting the Messiah, and that he will come and deliver us from sin. And this deliverance by the Passover is it's a type of it was prefiguring what Christ was to come and do for his people. There kind of said, And so, all the believing Jews, while they observe the Passover, they look to the future for the coming Messiah. The Israel form reno. Wọ́n mú yẹ jẹ́dí fún ọdún sọ mú èdè ọ̀sán òkè mú afáṣẹ nù à ní ọmọ òṣìṣẹ́ kwanṣẹ tẹ́yà ọmọ òṣìṣẹ́ ọmọ ní ọmọdé ọmọdé tó dá àjẹ̀nkwá náà bẹ́ẹ̀ bá ní ọba bẹ́ẹ̀ jí ọmọ efi àbúkọ̀ sún mú ẹ̀ndà àjẹ̀nkwá bá bẹ́ẹ̀ jí efi bọ́ nímú bọ́ nímú à sún mú. So all the believing Jews were looking after that. David and many all of them, they were looking, that's why they, David wrote a lot about Christ and his coming and the work that he was coming to do. So it was the same night. So I read to you again verse 23, the last part, and I'll add verse 24 to give us a clear understanding. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed with bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So it was in the same night when Christ was eating the Passover with the disciples. But the Lord's Supper is not Passover. It's not Passover. It was the same night that they were taking the post. At that, when Christ came, until his death, the ceremonial law was enforced. He himself observed all of them. So he was observing the Passover, which itself was prefiguring him and his work to redeem us. So when he was taking the Passover with the disciples, then he instituted the Lord's Supper. And the record, as we have in Matthew chapter 26, 17 to 30. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." So the physical bread is the symbol of Christ's body. The bread he took, he tells, "This is my body," not the actual body, but the symbol of the body of Christ, which he freely offered as an atoning sacrifice on the Calvary, on the cross of Calvary, for which all believers spiritually partake by faith in him. So what Christ did at the night of the Passover, of the Lord's Supper, he took bread. You know, the Jews, their bread is unlike ours, where we cut, they break it. So that's why it's broken. People have controversy about it. Oh, at the Lord's Supper, we don't need to cut the bread, we have to break it up. I don't know if you have heard people making that argument, but it's funny. The Jews, you know, they have their flat bread, and you break it, you don't cut it. So, but anyway, he broke that bread and he shared it for them. And he said that his body is a symbol of his body, which was going to offer on the cross of Calvary. And that it is that when we believe in him, every sinner who comes to believe in Christ, we come to partake of this, but we come to spiritually take part of the body offered, on his body offered on the cross of Calvary. So when we say, "I have believed in him, and Christ has said," this is what it means. His body that he offered, I have come to take part. So, and the Lord's Supper reminds us of that. That Christ offered his body on the cross of Calvary, and I, by faith, have taken part on. So, the same night, he took bread. So, the Iranian priest, Apostle Paul Patrick said, and I don't know how Judas, the Iranian priest, no, chairman is here for us. So, Mungina Mundi, where you mean the Pedria, Mede, Mibu, Eddie Amamu. And I make us say, the Raja di Dino, a Brodona, you do a Raja di, a Ginahoma, yes, choose to, Mini Pedria, or they call Calvary, come out for their mind, Jedi 4. The Jedi 4, the D Christo, Ni Pedriano, oh, Jedi, as you said, the Russian moves on over one way upon it, the Red Tunoswa. Who Calvin, the boy, the Nipper, the other one for a bono, yes, in a chapel. And he said, "You're better at it, you're 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 better at it, I'm sure you have heard people say, well, at the loss of the bread, turns to the physical body of Christ. It's never true. They are symbols. Again, the wine also will come to that. They say, the wine also turns to blood. I think the Roman Catholic Church, they are very key in this. It's never true. Christ is not teaching that. And even in John, in the Gospel of John, where he said they should eat his blood and drink, eat his him as the bread of life and drink his blood. He was thinking of faith in him. We eat the body of Christ by faith. Yes, Christ is the he's not teaching cannibalism. So, as if, well, when you take the body, so as if that the communion itself is salvation. That's what they are saying. No, The communion is the Lord's Supper of salvation. It represents salvation. So you see, it's not a real thing, but the symbol. So, and he said, do this in remembrance of me, so that as believers partake of the communion bread, we ought to recall to mind afresh how the body of Christ was wounded, bruised, and broken for us. How did Christ suffer? He was wounded. Then he has to suffer, beaten and crucified. His body has to suffer. He suffered for our sins in his own body on the cross of Calvary. So, whenever we come to the Lord's Supper, this will come to our mind afresh. You see, that the Lord suffered and died for me, a sinner. While I lived and sinned, he died and suffered on the cross of Calvary. And so the Lord's Supper should bring this to our mind afresh, that he has suffered for sin. He has offered his body for us, so that if we have believed in him, we ought to think of that. So it brings to our mind afresh. My time is running fast, so I'll quickly run through the remaining two verses. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So the wine also which we partake of the Lord's Supper is also a symbol of the bread of Christ, as I've already said. So of as of our cup, Bonsia no Sanso now sister Bonsia no a pump for fra and what you would you will someone no no more I won't find kind. Emma and also she said, see a better idea you know say yeah no drinking wine no one a rade a jnahoma in funis a Christo in Muja or Shim Maya no jnahoma. So that he says that this cup is the New Testament in my blood. It's very important, this expression, the New Testament in my blood. You know, the old covenant which God made with the Jews under the law, where Moses was the mediator, after everything was done, it was confirmed by the blood of bulls in Exodus 24:8 and other verses. And Moses took blood and sprinkled it to confirm the covenant that God made with them. But you know, this covenant has been abolished. All the ceremonial law and all its purposes have been accomplished in Christ. And that so the new covenant, this one, the covenant of grace, and Christ is the mediator of this covenant, and is under the dispensation of the gospel. And this new covenant was established by the blood of Christ. That's what it means. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. That the covenant of grace, which Christ's blood established, has confirmed. The cup, the wine in the cup, represents that. Not the cup, the wine in the cup represent that testamental blood of Christ, where the old, which Moses divided, the new, which is instituted, the old has been abolished. The old, it was not transferred, it has been abolished. The old covenant has been abolished. This is a new covenant. This is new not because when Christ instituted it was new, because Christ, being our covenant representative, was. It's from eternity. He has ever been the representative of his people from eternity. You see, but then it was freshly instituted that night, and that by his coming and his offering himself, the covenant of grace, where we come to partake of the blessings of salvation freely without any requirement of full obedience to the law, is given to us. There's the new covenant, you see. Pamphona is Christo Cas and Nuna Nimuja no Dinano. The Becker at the Teno is there for a Pama is Yamukonio in Yano. Moses, a year no man Yari, no Yamuku, a born in Muja Pitches in Yah. The Muja no age now was there. A six hour pound piece of much Yamponio Manyasa Pamu. Now, it's just a Pamu Kimuko, because you tap on your age now, yes, Christo, sir, or bar. That's all by we any Juma dear or Jay Jumana in the Jahoma. They know you go. Tapam no any hope you. No momono a pamu from a Christo Cano. A pama friends a dom apam. A pamua a year a Juma and Sampa a cano. I say, yes, Christo Nimujana or did Sapam yes, you say. The boy any Yako over here, the boy any now will wouldn't be. Ah, yes, the boy, you know, old dim rebel, old boom rascals, Yakupon Shannon, so the richer Christo Moa, Yakupon in the Panaponia. won na ba be ba ko eye adom apam yakopon de wo a wo sa pam wa so be je dinia yakopon ade won ni aso bi se Kristo afaje mo ne ho asutwe ni a. And so this covenant of grace, the new covenant, was established with the blood of Christ. So the wine, when we come to the Lord's Supper, the wine reminds us, this is the covenant. Ours is far greater and better than that of the Jews. And then even the Jews were looking up to this. You see, Moses and all the Old Testament saints were looking up to this covenant of grace, so that all who believed were justified by this one for all covenant offering of Christ to bring us to God. So there are many blessings of this covenant. My time is but let me just quickly finish. So all the blessings and the promises of this new covenant are confirmed by Christ's blood. That's what he's telling us. So when we are drinking the wine, we should reflect on the blessings and the promises he has secured for us by this covenant. You see? So at the Lord's table, as we are taking the wine, we think of Christ's blood and his merit. Christ's forgiveness of sin by his blood. Gift of righteousness by his own obedience, peace and reconciliation with God, and also the entrance into the holiest of all. We have access to God boldly because of Christ, which is far superior than the Roman, the Old Testament system where the priest, the human being, have to be there and just rigorously, year after year, they go there and offer sacrifices for the afternoon. Christ has once for all offered for the sins of his people, and this is enshrined the covenant of grace. This is a new covenant. So all blessings are secured for us by the blood of Christ. As Jesus Christ, So the blood of Christ is that which ratifies and indeed confirms this covenant. So all are secured for us because of him. He says, Do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of it. So as when we come to Lord's Supper, we should remember this. That's what it says to remember Christ. What his blood, what his body stands for, what his blood stands for, we remember this, you see. And as we are partaking the communion wine, we believers think afresh of Christ, the shed blood of Christ, and his blessings that he secured for us on the cross of Calvary. Christ offered his blood, and this is, this is what it means. It has secured blessings for us. And verse 20 says, for as often as ye eat this blood, this bread, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. He added another thing. As and when we come to the Lord's Supper, eat the bread and drink the wine, we are setting for the fact that Christ was put to death in the flesh. Christ came to die in the suffering in his blood. See, about right in the day, then it is a Christ to I, or Bahunamu, ever bring my money, may I want to send you. You see, so that if the world should forget about what Christ has done, believers, by coming to the Lord's Supper, we set before them Christ has died. And this is what he left for us to use as a representative of what he has done. And again, he says, if you show forth the Lord's death till he come, that we also believe in his return. You know, the world, even in our time, has many people have forgotten that Christ will come. But as we come to the Lord's Supper, we do set for that Christ will return. That we believe that he will come one day for us, his people, and then come and punish the world of sin, if the world has forgotten that he's going to come. So you see, the Lord's Supper is a very solemn act, time to really reflect on these things, so that if we miss them, then we miss the importance of it. And again, if a believer misses the Lord's Supper, he misses the reflection. You see, yes, we read the Bible, there are so many things about it, but the Lord specially meets us. The Spirit of the Lord come to meet our Lord's Supper. As we think of these things, it gives us fresh energy. You see, we cannot continue. You see, Apostle Paul will tell us that because people are observing it wrongly, there's punishment for them. You see, we'll look at that next week. But we see that this is given to us, believers, so that, you know, we easily forget things, but the Lord wants us to set him before us always. And it also tells us that The very purpose shows that only believers can take of the Lord's Supper and really benefit from it. If I am not really saved, I'm not having tasted forgiveness of sin, and I am not, I mean, I have not been saved by the Lord, I cannot reflect on these things. I cannot rejoice in them. I cannot rejoice of thinking of Christ's return. Where will I be? So you see, my time is gone. But this is the thing the Lord wants us to think of when we come to the Lord's Supper.